So we're really excited to have Laurie here. She was actually a former Statesman staff. She's from Springville, Utah, and she was here at USU from 1975 to 1979 and worked on the student newspaper. She was named the editor from 1978 to 1979, and for 76 before years before that, the name of the newspaper was The Student Life.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that it was ever anything different. Tell us a little bit about the name change and why that happened.
Yes, we had, that was the first year that we had a full-time student advisor to the newspaper. And I was actually an editor, summer editor at the Springville Herald at the time when he came on board. And one of the things that he thought would be a good idea, and I agreed, was to change the name. It had been called The Student Life for, as you said, 76 years, and we felt like that reflected only part of what the newspaper's function was, you know, which was capturing the life of students on campus. But we wanted to be able to do more professional news work, and we wanted to be able to have it sort of step up and be a better training ground for journalism students and just take it a little more seriously than what we thought it had been before.
Did this change affect the readership?
Well, alumni were not happy with us.
Oh, really?
Okay.
The letters to the editor from people who said, you know, why are you doing this? And this is changing, you know, tradition. And we got one letter to the editor that said that Student Life evoked the old school where they had panty raids on the mall, and I don't even know exactly what that was.
I was going to ask what that was.
I think there was something at some time about people stealing other people's underwear and putting them up on flagpoles. I don't know if that's what they were referring to. I really don't. But there were some loyal alumni that didn't like the fact that we were upending tradition. But other than that, I don't think there was a lot of pushback or a lot of problem with the name change.
You know, I'm actually curious. You mentioned panty raids. Was USU a party school back in the day?
It had a reputation to some degree as being a party school, but I don't remember it that way. I mean, probably compared to, say, you know, some of the other schools in
sure.
Utah, maybe it was, but that certainly wasn't like the banner that we held up. I mean, it was a serious academic school, and I think that there was definitely, I'm sure, a party element to it, but I don't think that was the reputation really that the school had.
So when you were, when the name change happened, did you work before when it was called The Student Life?
Yes, I did. I started working at the newspaper when I was a freshman.
Oh, wow.
And my first responsibility was they did these interviews that were called Man on the Street. And it was so much fun. You just take a topic, usually something where people had a lot of opinions, and we would go around and ask various students what they what they thought about that question. And then we would put their pictures and their comments in the paper. And that always stirred up a lot of discussion in the newspaper editorial pages, too, because they were generally questions that, you know, had an opposing view. And but we had a lot of fun with that.
That does sound like a lot of fun. Which brings us to my next question, and that is, what was the national dialogue like, and how did USU students respond to that?
Well, one of the big issues that was kind of a surprise to me, I guess, when I went to school there was that in the 70s, Utah State became kind of a hub for college students from Iran.
And really?
There were hundreds of students that came from Iran, and I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. I think a lot of them came for the engineering program, but it was... there was a well-organized vocal group of Iranian students that protested the U.S. support of the Shah of Iran.
Oh,
so there was
okay.
always something going on there, you know, with they had a lot of protests and sit-ins And, you know, they had an organization, the Iranian Student Association, and they staged a lot of marches and hunger strikes and all types of things that were going on. Some of them were we had a former CIA director that came to speak, and so they staged a big protest then.
Oh, wow.
And so it was controversial because there was, of course, a big element of people who were saying, you know, you're biting the hand that feeds you, you know, you're coming here to... And then you're, you know, disruptive. And then there were others who were supporting, obviously, their right to speak their views. And so it was a little bit of a hotbed then. And it was interesting to me, too, now that some of the issues are not that different from the issues of today. I mean, the Equal Rights Amendment was hot then. And
everybody
was debating equal rights for women. There were discussions about the legalization of marijuana. And there were even, like, sports doping at the time. There was a Russian gymnast that there was a lot of controversy about whether this gymnast was taking, you know, sports enhancing drugs. And they even fought over, like, designated smoking areas. This was, well, smoking was still allowed in various places. And
Was that allowed inside buildings then?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So there would be, like, in the cafeterias and stuff, you could smell. I don't remember it in classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, if you had debates about, you know, whether they should have designated smoking areas, then it became kind of like a Mormon issue and a non-Mormon issue. It wasn't that at all. Anyway, there's always something stirred up.
So, that actually leads perfectly into the next question. This has been great. Were there any tensions between the USU Institute, or between the Institute right next to campus and USU?
Yeah, so there was always something going on there. They had a sign that they erected that was kind of like a, what do you call it? Not a billboard, but it was like an electric sign that announced speakers and different classes. And boy, that was a big deal because, because of course it's so close to campus, but then everybody was like, you know, upset about church and state and they wanted to take the sign down. We were advertising religion there and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And then there was a big kind of a hubbub about, I don't know if this is the case today, but they were giving university credits for institute classes.
There's
a lot of controversy over that there, you should not be allowed to get university credit for church or religion classes. So there was a lot of back and forth about that. And there always seemed to be something going on with relation to, you know, those who, and kind of on the heels of that were people who were there that came from places outside of Utah, but then complained about Utah. And then people that, you know, were saying, you know, love it or leave it kind of a thing.
Oh, goodness. That's not anything new.
Yeah, so there's always some discussion about, you know, all of that kind of thing. And I think, like I said, that probably still goes on.
Right.
On today.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely a dialogue in it and things that are going on. You know, another question that I have is, how did a newsroom survive without the internet? Please.
That's a riot. You know, that's a crazy thing because it would be a whole different world now. I mean, I'm sure it is. I visited the Statesman offices a couple of years ago. And
sure.
It was a crack up to me, just like these beautiful, sleek computers in there. I mean, honestly, we were living in the dark ages. And we had... like old, decrepit computers with keys that stuck and didn't work. I mean, you know, we had a loud, clacking AP wire machine in the middle of the newsroom where it'd go tear off the news stories, and that was our link to the outside world, you know. But everything else, you know, it was, you know, you couldn't just go online and snag something, you know, or do research, for heaven's sake. Should it go to the library? Can you imagine? Going to the library and getting a library, looking up things in a little tick file.
No.
And then going, finding old books and magazines.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I can't believe
everything.
That.
I know it's come so far, but also in my opinion, there was much more of a journalistic commitment to objectivity and fairness. I mean, we were taught that in journalism school so much, and the opinions were reserved for the editorial pages. And, you know, there, it was like you had to be a trained journalist to write stories. You didn't just put up a blog and start a Twitter account. And, you know, it's the industry has just changed dramatically over the years since I was a journalism student so long ago.
Do you think that selection bias has led to a more politicized world?
I definitely do. There are pros and cons to it. I mean, I love the accessibility of news today and the way that you can, you know, you can get news alerts all day long and get news as it happens. I mean, there's no waiting for the newspaper to arrive on your doorstep anymore. And but then the downside of that is that, you know, anybody can write anything they want the way they want. We have this whole rise of fake news and people purporting to say things that are accurate that are not. And so I think the checks and balances system is a lot more difficult and a lot more elusive than it used to be. But then again, like I said, the accessibility of news is remarkable. I mean, I remember sitting in a journalism class at USU and a professor saying, there will be a day where people won't get newspapers. We will all be reading the news as it happens on our computers. And
right,
I thought, there is no way
that will
ever happen.
I'm really impressed with that person. That was remarkable foresight,
and
honestly.
Here we are like, when we just moved to Utah and I subscribed to a newspaper and I get the New York Times delivered on the weekends. And
right.
I think I'm the only person on my entire street that gets a newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
no
more paper boys.
Really old school, you know, to have an actual, you know, newsprint paper that I pull out every day, because that's not how it is anymore.
When we had a subscription, we actually had someone who had to drive to bring it to our apartment because it was just too much work to go ride a bike and get it on everyone's.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, that's true. And back in the day, you know, my brothers delivered the newspaper and they were weighted down with these huge newspaper bags, tossing them as they rode their bikes in everybody's driveway. And boy, those days are long gone, aren't they?
Right. So what was your favorite story during your time at USU that you covered?
Oh, boy. Well, it was probably a controversial one, but it was...
Ooh, okay.
We were getting a new university president. The president up to that time had been President Taggart.
Okay.
And they were doing a presidential search, so we had been covering the interviews and the various candidates.
Sure.
And then we just started to get a lot of information pointing toward one man, Stan Kazier in California.
And oh, yeah.
We really took, like, this calculated risk, and we guessed that he was going to be the president.
You just guessed. You just
printed the paper and everything saying that he had been named the president.
Wow.
Before it was announced. Because we really, we took ourselves quite seriously, and we really wanted to be able to scoop the Herald Journal on one story. This university news, and we want to be able to beat them to it. And
so we
took this gutsy risk, and we stood by the door where they had been talking about it, and they came out to announce it in a press conference. And we literally handed them the newspaper that said, Stan Kazier named president of Utah State.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we went, you know, because we were prepared to go scoop up all the papers we'd had printed. And we were going to get ourselves into a lot of trouble. But luckily for us, it worked out, and we actually got it right. And
that's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
For our newspaper staff.
You know what, the Statesman, we just did that this year as Noah Cockett was president. We were trying to beat everybody. But we didn't publish a paper. We were trying to beat them with our tweet. So I could relate to that.
Well, that's part of the fun, right?
I mean, right.
The race to get the story right. But that's the other challenge, is getting it right, you know. Take a risk sometimes, but
right.
We're lucky.
So let's talk a little bit about your career after USU, just for a brief moment. You, as I mentioned earlier, were the Robbins Woman of the Year Award. And then you moved to D.C. and worked as a press intern for Senator Jake Garn in Utah. So tell me, what was D.C. like in the 70s?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I landed there after having lived in Utah my whole life, and I was just blown away with it. That there's a vibe in D.C. that I became addicted to immediately. I just, especially for someone who loves news of politics,
sure,
like, just mecca for me. So I loved it, and we had a lot of, you know, there was a lot of things happening, and President Carter was president when I was there as an intern, and then President Reagan came in, and that was just excitement beyond excitement because he was bigger than life to everybody there, and he ushered in a whole new era, and it was just a lot of fun. And Senator Garn was a great statesman. I had a lot of respect for him and enjoyed working with him, and
made
probably my closest lifelong friends in that office, and they still remain my friends today after all these years. But it was exciting. I remember looking when I was at Utah State and thinking I needed to get an internship and having this wild idea, I should go to Washington. And then never really imagined that it would turn into a lifetime of living there. So
right, yeah.
Utah State was a wonderful launching pad for me and prepared me well for a career that I really loved in the Washington, D.C. area.
Hmm. So I have one more question, and that is, do you have any advice for USU students?
Think big is what I guess I would say. I mean, I never would have imagined that when I was growing up in Springville, Utah, that I would end up spending 37 years living in the nation's capital.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Working for a president and a senator and being able to do the kinds of work that I was privileged to do. And I think that the world is, there are so many wonderful opportunities. I guess that would be my advice in a nutshell, is to think big and then go for it, because there are so many wonderful opportunities to be had in life, and don't hold back.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Laurie, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I had a wonderful experience at Utah State. I live with BYU Cougars.
Oh,
I
no.
I have to really hold my ground.
Oh.
In fact, one of the great things at Utah State was that we beat BYU in football and basketball when I was there. So we
yes.
were really happy about that. But
oh, it's not quite the same these days.
And when I moved into this house where we live in Highland, Utah, our neighbor came over and she said, "Are you blue or red?" And I thought she meant politics because and it's Republican and Democrat.
Sure.
But she meant BYU or Utah State or University of Utah, and I said, neither. I am an Aggie. I'm Utah State.
Yes,
I'm true blue Aggie, even though I'm surrounded by Utes and Cougars.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great
thank
show
you.
Of the Aggie Morning Word podcast, KBLU LP 92.3. We're coming back tomorrow. Kat and Josh will bring you guys the news. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Morgan Pratt.
And I'm Brad Robinson.
We're going to play you some Mumford & Sons.